Well, one of the more impressive achievements of the coalition government since it took office in 2013 is the creation of close to 1 million jobs. But there hasn't been any significant rise in hourly wages in that time. Wages growth is running at about half the rate it was a decade ago. And until people's weekly paycheck starts to slowly show some strong rises, economists are not expecting to see a sustained jump in consumer spending. And it's just that kind of spending that represents the biggest part of the Australian economy. The ABC's chief economics correspondent, Emma Alberici, reports.
I'm a casual academic and I teach across the arts faculty and the business faculty.
Indrani Bandyopadhyay is a casual teacher at the University of Technology, Sydney. She's among a growing cohort of workers researchers call the underemployed. They have jobs, but could and often wish they were doing more.
It's quite terrifying. I mean, it certainly was terrifying in the beginning. And, you know, then I got into the habit of stashing away enough money that I knew I would probably get through the summer.
Roy Morgan Research puts the number of underemployed at 35% and rising. Their CEO is Michelle Levine.
This data does clearly show that there are still people that would like to work who don't have jobs and people who would like to work more because they have only part-time employment. The Roy Morgan data suggests there's about 2.5 million people in that bucket of people who have more capacity to work.
Michael Blyth is chief economist at the Commonwealth Bank. He points out that some of those casual workers opt for the flexibility part-time work brings, but that doesn't tell the whole story.
It also reflects what's actually been driving the economy. So over that period, last 10 years, bottom line GDP growth rates have been pretty good. But if you look at how what's driving that growth has changed, well, a lot of it has gone more towards the service-type parts of the economy. Areas like tourism, for example, and these are the areas that typically generate more part-time jobs than full-time jobs. And if you think on the other side of the equation, a lot of those sectors that have been big full-time employers like manufacturers, clearly they're a smaller share of the economy these days.
The persistent slack in the labour market is keeping private sector hourly wages growth flat. For the year to December, they rose just 1.9%. It's a long way off the 3-4% growth of a decade ago. Meanwhile, company profit growth has been 6 times stronger than wages growth. In Kensington in Melbourne's west, a group of young men is playing basketball. They'd rather be working, but they're all unemployed. Australia's youth unemployment rate is more than double the general unemployment rate.
Some agencies won't call me back once they hear, like, a shift. I'll be sent out for a shift. They'll get my full name and my details. Somewhere along the journey to work, my shift will get cancelled. And I already know why, so I just don't bother. I just go back home.
Why?
Because of my name, Muhammad. No one wants, let's be honest, like, no one wants a Muhammad walking in through their door because of the way we've been portrayed in the media. And obviously, when they see a black man walking, it makes it even worse for them.
One agency, she said to me, "Are you from the IPIX group?" I said, "Nah." And
they thought you were part of an African crime gang.
Yeah.
Ahmed Dewi is a youth support worker in Melbourne's west.
I think the overrepresentation in the media of, you know, African Australian youth who, if someone does something wrong, we're all basically thrown under the bus, you know, is probably one of the reasons why so many of the young people in our community find themselves unemployed.
1 million or so jobs have been created since the coalition took office, but still the unemployment rate is stuck at 5.5%. The Reserve Bank thinks wages won't start to grow more significantly until the unemployment rate falls to 5% or less.
We had 3 businesses here in Australia, 2 were sold off, and the last one, which is the business that became Techstor, was going to be liquidated. So I just couldn't handle laying off the people who'd worked for me for 20-odd years, so I decided to step in and buy it.
Philip Butler runs Techstor Technologies, an advanced manufacturing business in Melbourne with contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars across the world. With the mining investment boom behind us, new jobs are being created in industries like this that didn't exist in Australia a decade ago.
A newborn typically gets baby rash and so on, skin rash. So we developed the first material in the world which can pull that runny bowel away from the skin and protect the skin.
Advanced manufacturing requires higher skills than traditional manufacturing. Analysts say that will require a bigger investment in higher education. Michael Blythe again.
What is interesting when you look at how the labour market has moved in terms of skill levels, well, most job losses in Australia have been in what I've kind of described as the routine manual parts of the economy. These are the bits that are easy to automate and so on. All the job gains have been in areas that are more to do with non-routine cognitive skills are required. So what it tells you, I think, is that while we talk about a lot of in terms of spending on infrastructure, and we need that, but we also need to spend more money on education as a way of equipping people to deal with these changes that we can't really stop in the labour market.
Commonwealth Bank Chief Economist Michael Blythe, Emma Alberici reporting.